November? Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We're talking about the Falcons. That is a running joke now after us talking about the comments of Dan Orlowski. But if you're wondering what the latest is with the Falcons, look, Kevin Stefanski wants a couple of things. One, he wants more energy, more urgency. Mm-hmm. And so do we. It's what we were lacking in that first preseason game. Execution, that's a whole nother conversation, and maybe we'll be better this week as they practice with the Indianapolis Colts. That'll happen over the next couple of days, guys, and yes, we'll be getting reports and trying to figure out and fill in the blanks in between. But as Mike said, there's going to be a lot of work done behind the scenes
right.
that we're not going to be able to see. And so part of this is, are we getting in the work we need? The other thing that's going on with the Falcons, Mike, is you know, you and I had a great conversation off the air today. We brought it to the air as we do because right. there are, you know, shows in this city that are afraid to do things that we do. And at the end of the day, when you start talking about your expectations for this team, what is your gut feeling? And Mike said to me today in a very serious tone, because we joke around all the time, he said, look, I think that they may be thinking that this is a gap year. And I literally got upset this morning. Because I was like, I don't want to hear this. Like, we're vested in this team. Right. That's the last thing I want to hear is that we're going to win 5 or 6 games, and then all of a sudden we're pushing towards next season. And I always tell you guys this. Hell, I don't know where I'm going to be. You don't know where you're going to be. I want to win right now. Yeah. But lay out the facts for our listeners why you feel this way.
Right. Now, as we joked around in the spring, I said, like, I'm not going to be the hype guy this year. And then every year I kind of get caught up in practice and I see some things I really like. And, you know, you get amped up. And remember last year we came off that Titans scrimmage and Penix looked really good. And they were, okay, we got a leader on this team and he's grabbing that role after the weirdness of the previous year. I got to be honest, I've been fighting the feeling to tell this on the radio. And I said, well, the hell with it. I'll just let the chips fall. I think this is going to be a gap year. Now, what does that mean? Well, they're not going to tell you that. Matt Ryan and Ian Cunningham are going to have for these introductory press conferences and go, you know, we looked at this team and we got some really good things here, but we're missing in some other areas. But that's true. We have got some really good pieces. They invested in those pieces. Bijan's one of the best players in the league. They believe in Drake. They believe in Pitts. They decided to do more than just franchise tag. And we got a really good offensive line. They invested in Bergeron. We're going to find out if Juwan Taylor can reinvent himself. He is listed as number one, by the way, on the newest depth chart. Get you ready for Saturday in Indy, by the way.
Remember, coach doesn't make those out.
Supposedly not. But I told Carl, I said, we don't look like we're good against the run. You know, I mean, we're trying to money ball a pass rush, and we pick up Za'Darius Smith, who, you know, 7 years ago was one of the elite players in the league, 70.5 sacks. Hopefully he can give us what Calais Campbell gave us a couple of years ago, but be solid. But guys, we don't have a quarterback. We don't know who the quarterback is. Is Tua going to catch his old form? Is Michael Penix Jr. ever going to be out there to start and be healthy? Either healthy in his own mind or cleared by the doctors to be there. So when Vegas hits it at 6.5, and I've been wrestling with this because I never bet against the team. I never go under. I got to be honest. I don't see a lot of wins for this team. I think we'll be probably 7 wins. Because I just think we have core playmakers, but we're missing in some key areas. And when you don't have a quarterback and know what your quarterback is going to be, then you're dead in the water. Until you prove me otherwise. I hope I'm wrong. But that's what I was feeling. I said it today to Carl, and we were talking about it all day. I just don't see it.
Here's what's interesting. So most of you who've been paying attention believe that Tua is going to start the season, right? I've been telling you way back when that I'm giving him a chance to prove to us that he can still play, that he can do this job, and hopefully we win some games. But they've not named a starter, and my question is why? If you think or know that this timetable continues to be pushed back and the realistic possibilities of Michael Penix starting week 1 are unrealistic, then why not name Tua of the starter? I asked this question a week ago. I'll move it forward, Mike. What are we waiting on? There is no timetable to name a starter. And if the guy who's the other candidate can't participate in 11-on-11, then why not? So here is Coach Stefanski answering a question that I don't think he answered. When asked about, hey, coach, what do you need to see before you name QB1?
I'd just say we're continuing on our process, continuing where we are, keeping the main thing, which is these practices. The practices this week, I think, again, will be good for everybody, including the quarterbacks, going up against a defense that they haven't seen. So all of this is important as we get ready for week 1.
Look, I do think it's important, but, coach, you didn't answer that. What do you need to see? What do you need to see from Tua that goes, hey, look, we know Michael's where he's at, mm-hmm. but Tua's shown us everything. He's QB1. What are the things, Mike, that you need to see? And he just basically shuffled around that and said, hey, it's important week, and we get that, and you're going to go practice with another team and get some work in. That's fine. But you didn't tell us what you need to see. And if you need to see it from this guy, do you need to see it from that guy too? So as you talk about this gap year thing, I just want to address this. I'm with you. I hope it's not. And I appreciate you sharing those true feelings because, like I said, a lot of people don't want to say that. They're, like, afraid to. My thing with this is so much has to go right for you next year for you to get everything you want. And there's no guarantee that if we do have a gap year that you're going to get the quarterback you want in the draft, that we're going to have a top pick, that you're going to be able to go get the top free agents just because we have a lot of money. And the idea is everything's going to fall into place. Gap years don't happen on purpose. Right. So I am not willing as a fan to accept that, knowing, Mike, that, hey, last few years we've been talking about winning this division, and if we would have done this, and if a coaching decision would have been made, and if a kicker would have made a kick, and now we got to take a potential year? That's my issue.
I just think that you've got to look from the front office standpoint. And by the way, you know, they've done some really good things they haven't done historically with the Falcons, voidable years in the contract, where everyone who watches the business side of it says we're in a great place financially coming out of the – let's be honest. The Cousins thing was a debacle, and it jammed us up with the cap. They didn't overcommit. They did everybody on sort of prove-it-year deals. The only guy who got a multi-year deal was Jahan Dotson. To me, that kind of signaled back, you know, in the spring that this is kind of a gap year, you know? And then we hear Michael Penix Jr. saying, you know, hey, yeah, I've got to get my head right. We heard the conversation with him and Cam Newton. Cam knows what it's like to come back from an injury. But, I mean, is Michael right with his mentals where he's going to be able to push the envelope a little bit and get out there, or are they going to strictly stick it by the numbers with the doctors? Mm. I mean, again, only time will tell there. But again, how much do you see of Michael this year and then say, oh, I'm really good. I don't need to draft a quarterback next year. We've got our guy who's coming off, you know, off an injury and has had three knee injuries and is a very injury-prone guy. Do you still feel that you're building on sand, or you're building on bedrock at your quarterback?
That's a good question. You can chime in, 404-726-0929. Many of you... Right. Earlier in the show today, and we appreciate all the phone calls and interaction, look, you had a lot to say. And part of it is that many of you agree with him. Maybe you've been talking to your boys about this. Maybe you've been talking to your family, and you're saying, you know what? I like a lot of things on this team. But at the end of the day, man, we ain't going to be good till next year. Next year? We got to wait?
Well, I mean, look, Jalen, and the part of this is they never would have foreseen the Jalen Walker thing. I think they were feeling that Jalen Walker was going to be a big part of a good young emerging pass rush. They knew that Pierce was going to be on ice for maybe half the season. They knew something was coming down with Pierce. We get that. But, you know, are we good against the run? Are we going to be able to stop? Well, last year we couldn't stop the run to save our lives. You know, that's a concern for me. The skill positions, I think we're in a great spot. We raised the floor with the wide receiver, but it's a moot point if their quarterback isn't any good.
Yep, it's true. Frank in Fayetteville wants to join the show. And, Frank, we appreciate you listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, what are your thoughts on this?
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Hey, I don't have a problem with it because, you know, we can start building our lines of scrimmage, start building some depth because we don't have to put a whole lot of money to a quarterback until, you know, later on. So let's build our team from ground up, get us a quarterback in a year or two from now, then go from there and build some depth on that.
All right.
He's cool with pay. I mean, look, again, it just sucks because some folks will say, look, that's 9 years without the playoffs.
Correct. It's a long time. And, right. and you still have time, by the way, if you want to keep Michael Penix and you believe that he is the guy.
Isn't it May is the deadline that'll pick up the fifth-year option?
Next year. You right. pick up the fifth-year option, but you don't have to extend him until after the fifth-year option is done. That's two seasons. So if you really wanted to invest into that and say, hey, we've got plenty of time, and I know, Mike, we feel like as fans – we don't have that time. There are teams who know 3 years in, this dude's the guy. Right?
Right.
And then we're falling into this situation where we will be going into year four, year five, you pick up the fifth year option because it's still fairly cheap, you know, according to quarterback standards with what guys are getting. And you do that based on the fact, like Kyle Pitts, we're going to pick up the fifth year option. We didn't know they were going to give him an extension, but it made sense based on, all right, you know what? It's still cheap. Let's see what he has. And we were all under the impression, Mike, that they're going to figure out what he is. They went above and beyond that and said, we're going to go ahead and give you an extension. Now, again, it's not as long as some people make it out to be. But the Penix thing, you still have legitimately 2 more years if you wanted to figure that out if you're still trying to build your football team.
Right, but he's got to get out there. I mean, I've got to guys, it's so funny if you take yourself out of where how you feel about Penix, for guys that are just only locked in on Penix, you feel that you have the same confidence in J.J. McCarthy you have in Penix. You're in the same situation.
I don't think McCarthy's any good. I think Penix can play when healthy. I told you that from day one. I don't think that McCarthy can play.
You didn't like his game from the jump. And remember, he popped in preseason a couple years ago, got everybody all fired up, excited, named the starter, and then obviously can't stay on the field.
Yeah, I feel differently about Penix, despite the two of Michael Penix thing. The thing about McCarthy, and I said this to you, he had a coach who believed in a run game in college and protected him. They never asked him in college to go throw for 350 yards.
And Penix had to do that. And didn't
every game.
And the last game of the season, they didn't even have a full, healthy running back. That's why Penix got beat up in that national championship game.
Yeah.
But anyway, you still got to get on the field. We still be able to have to evaluate him. And two things about this, this is two things being true, two things about the quarterback. Either this regime believes in him or he's got to prove it to them because they didn't draft him. They don't owe him anything. They're not going to say anything negative about him publicly, but they might behind closed doors not believe in him.
And that we don't know. John in LaGrange, how are you feeling about this? Gap year, you buy that, John? Welcome in. Hey, man.
I don't buy that. I'll tell you this. This is what I think. This is what I believe. I believe the coaching staff, all the way up to Matty Ice, knows that Tua is going to get the job. They're just saving face because the problem is, and a lot of people are going to get PO'd when I say this, Michael Penix is scared of the boogeyman because when he talked to Cam and he said, I feel right.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to get it in my head.
You're right.
To where he's scared of the boogeyman. And that's all I got.
Good stuff. Look, we discussed this. I don't want to over psychoanalyze this because, again, I'm not sitting down with him and he's not sitting on my couch. But it was concerning because physically, if I feel fine, then mentally I should be in a place where I can go challenge that. And he said, you know, the first time he had an ACL, he didn't realize he could do the things he needed to do until he got hit.
Right.
Well, he ain't come close to being hit since he got injured. He ain't come close to having anybody come close to touching him. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to disagree with that assessment. You know, you call it the boogeyman. I just call it it's stuff from your past that affects your future.
Right.
And you think about it differently. And I think he can get over it. But, Mike, I don't know when.
Right. And, again, the comments, he's been very forthcoming. I said almost maybe he needs to dial it back a little bit, letting everybody in on where his head is at. Everyone's been through this. We call that the Tom Cruise analogy. You got to overcome adversity, get your confidence, get back out there. When? Dan Orlovsky goes on ESPN. I don't know if he's got some insight on this that we're not aware of, but he said November.
November?
I'm like, if I got to wait till November to see Penix Jr., then something's seriously wrong with this season.
Something's going on. All right, man. You guys can tell us. Text us 404-726-0929. Follow Mike, ATL Bell, 929. Put them up. See Dukes. Hit us up, man, and follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929 and this radio station to keep up on all the latest news, 929 The Game. We're coming back. What's going on with the Braves, man? Last night.
Couldn't hit.
And it got ugly early. Like all of a sudden, first six guys on base and then four guys score. Martin Perez, does he deserve more grace after last night's performance? We'll ask Grant next.